Sing a little. Good morning. My name is Emily, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Well today. We are meeting together again online, and we're excited to be with you in your living room or maybe on your back porch. You are worshiping today, not only maybe with your family who's with you, but also with our community of people who consider the Well their home, and maybe even some visitors who are jumping in with us from other cities or other states even. We're excited that you're here. I want to let you know that the things at our church, First United Methodist Long Beach and the Well, our gatherings at the church continue to be canceled, but we found some other ways where we can meet together online. So today at 5 p.m. on Instagram Live, Mary will be hosting our youth group. And on Tuesday night at 6:30, our senior pastor, John Kaufman, is going to be on Facebook Live on the main church page, so the FUMCLB page on Facebook. And he will be just checking in, kind of doing a weekly check-in, and also bringing some inspirational thoughts. Ben is going to do the same thing on Thursday nights at 6:30, and he'll be live on the Wells Facebook page. And also Lori is going to bring some children's message on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. So you want to join her and gather your kids around for that content on Wednesday mornings. Today we are continuing in our series on the Lord's Prayer, and our topic is forgiveness. You may think, why are we thinking about forgiveness in this weird world that we're living in? But my guess is that in this space that we're in, we have a lot of weird feelings, and maybe we need to forgive a lot of things. I'm thinking of myself in particularly loving basketball. There's no basketball right now, and so I know that that's something that seems kind of trivial in the place that we're at, but is something that I'm going to have to forgive and get past. You might think of other things, maybe little problems that seem like a big deal right now, or just bitterness or grudges you need to let go of, or maybe as Ben's preaching, you're going to think of a specific person that you need to forgive, and maybe God's going to bring that person to your mind, and it's somebody you need to be thinking about and thinking about how you can forgive them. So we encourage you, if somebody's name comes up, ask God, how can I forgive this person? If a particular situation or a grudge comes up, ask God, how can I forgive this situation in my life? As we've been doing every week, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together, and then we're going to worship a little bit more together. So you guys say the Lord's Prayer with me today. And it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me, it was in the garden he prayed, not my will, but thine.
Hey, good morning. At this point in our service, we want to give a gift back to God. We believe that everything we have comes from God as a gift. The very breath that we breathe is the direct, generous hand of God at work in our life. And so those of us who call First United Methodist Church and the Well our home, this is an opportunity that we take to give back to God as a way of saying we trust you to continue to provide for our daily bread day after day. And we certainly want to see the mission and the ministry of our church continue on. And so we would encourage you to be faithful to that. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, there really is no need for you to participate in this. We are just glad that you're here with us. If you feel so led, you're welcome to. But for those of us who are called to this place during this season, this is an opportunity for us to give. You can click on one of the posts just above this broadcast if you're on Facebook. If you're watching us online, we would encourage you to go to our website at thewelllongbeach.org. Click on the giving link and you can follow the prompts there. Thank you for your generosity in all the years past, and we look forward to all the blessings that God has for us in the future. Let us pray. God, thank you so much for all that you give to us, for the way that you're caring for us, even in these difficult days. God, we know that you will provide. And God, we know that not only will you provide, but God, that you will bless. And so take these, our gifts. Lord, use them to advance your kingdom, that somehow through our generosity and through our service, Lord, that your kingdom would become a reality, just as we pray that it would become real for those around us. We thank you for allowing us to participate in that kingdom. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
don't deserve it. Forgiven, I'm forgiven. Jesus, your blood makes me innocent. So I will say goodbye to every sin. I am forgiven.
Hey, thanks again so much for joining us here this morning. I also want to say thanks to our worship team. They lead us so well every Sunday. And man, especially during these times, isn't it good to be with them and to be led by them? I know it's really different. You're kind of observing from home or wherever you may be driving down the road. I hope you're not driving. I hope you're riding. But we're so grateful that you've joined with us as we continue our conversation around the Lord's Prayer. I wrestled last week to decide, what do you preach on a Sunday that you can't be at church? And we were in the midst of our series on the Lord's Prayer, and it was that part about give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for today and help us to trust you for what you'll provide for us tomorrow. And so I felt that was incredibly timely. And so we're going to continue with that series. And today we talk about forgiveness. And while, you know, I know forgiveness may not line up exactly with most of the things that are on your mind right now, but I would say that as we continue to discover this template, this format that Jesus gave us to pray, I believe it will be incredibly valuable to us during this season of our life. And so this week, in fact, let's just start it at the top from Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to go ahead and read you the prayer as Jesus taught us. Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. That is the prayer that Jesus taught us. And from the beginning, we've been reminded that this was a template or a format that Jesus gave us. We can pray it word for word and pray it often, and I believe there's great value in that, but I believe the incredible value in this prayer is when we take time to sort of break it down and to fill in the gaps, to fill in the blanks along the way, and to spend some time. You know, to start out, we talked about, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. And we talked about, you know, this is just an acknowledgement as we begin to pray of God as our Father, but he is also holy and he's set apart and he's incredible. And so we sort of submit and stand in awe of him as we prepare to receive what he might have for us in this moment of prayer. And then we moved on to our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And so we talked that second week kind of about what does it look like to discover God's will, but also to pray for that to be real in our life, that our lives would line up with the will of God and that our life would be centered inside of his kingdom and that it would become a reality around us. And so it's as much a petition prayer as it is an acknowledgement where we ask God, help us to make your kingdom come real inside of us. Help our lives to line up with what you would have for us. And then last week, like I just said, you know, with our daily bread, God, we recognize, we look back, you know, glanced at the story from the Israelites when they received manna from heaven and they took just as much as they needed and they prayed, you know, God, or Jesus reminds us that we should pray to receive God's providence in the same way that he provided for the Israelites. Give us today the bread that we need and we'll trust you tomorrow for what you're going to provide. And then today we talk about forgiveness. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So let's just kind of break this down, if you will, for a moment. What does it mean to forgive? For me, you know, a definition of forgiveness is simply the release of what someone owes me. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been hurt by someone or you've ever been owed something by someone, if you want to remove that barrier or if you want to take away that debt that is owed, you forgive them. You take it away. Now, that could be someone else pays for it or you just pretend like it never happened. I don't know. It can be approached in different ways, but forgiveness is simply the release of a burden or a release of something that you're owed. And so in this case, what were we talking about? We're talking about forgiveness of sins. And so we're coming, and this is a petition as part of the prayer to say, God, would you please forgive us of our sins? And so to forgive our sins, first we got to acknowledge, what is sin? I think simply put, sin is really anything that would serve to separate us from God. Anything, an act of willful disobedience in our life, anything that would cause us to step outside of the will of God, to live our life in contradiction to the kingdom of God, anything in our life that would defile the name of God or defile the holiness of God, all these things we've already prayed and prepared for, anything in our life that doesn't line up with that, I would say is sin. It separates us. It creates a gap. And so it's in this moment, in this petition, where we ask God that he would sort of reconcile that relationship, that he would forgive us our sins. And so this forgiveness is somehow removed. It's what we're asking for, it to be removed. And the only real way to remove sin, you and I can try, we can work hard, we can do as much good as we can. But the reality is, sin is not just our outward action, but really it's an inward movement of our heart that drives us toward opening that gap between us and that relationship with God that we were created for. And so when we ask for forgiveness of sin, we recognize that Jesus is our only hope. And so forgive us our sins. We believe that on the cross, Jesus buried our sin. And when he rose from the dead, he gives us freedom to live a new life apart from that sin. And so in this part of the prayer, Jesus says, pray like this. Forgive us our sins. So Jesus readily acknowledges that forgiveness is available. He knows what is about to happen. He knows that by the end of his life, that he will have made a way for us. And so he invites us to pray for that forgiveness. But what I find so interesting, and this is where I kind of want us to camp out for just a moment, is this idea of that forgiveness that he offers to us is somehow connected, and I believe it's completely intertwined with our willingness, our ability to forgive other people. He says, forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. I think this is where it gets really tricky. I think it's easy. Maybe I'm just speaking for me. I find it really easy to ask for forgiveness of my sin. I mean, I know me well enough. I don't need any of y'all to point this out. I know me well enough to know that I'm a broken human. I am broken, and when I pray things like, God, I want your will to be done in my life. I want your kingdom to become a reality all around me. I want to hallow your name. I want my life to reflect your goodness and your glory. I know that I'm broken and I come up short. And so asking for forgiveness for me seems actually to come fairly easy. What's difficult for me is this idea of forgiving other people. In fact, it was Jesus who told this story. Peter, one of my all-time favorite disciples, Peter has a question for Jesus. This is sometime after Jesus has given them this template for prayer, but certainly before his crucifixion and resurrection. Listen what Jesus says. Peter comes to him and he asks him this question. Peter came to him and asked, Lord, this is Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and following. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should we forgive someone who sins, or how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, Jesus then kind of pauses. He's answered Peter's question directly. He says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Seven would have been, you know, a large and standard number, but 70 times seven would be the equivalent of you and I saying infinity, to infinity and beyond, right? 70 times seven. And so then Jesus tells this story in a way only Jesus can. He gives this story to kind of illustrate and help Peter, but also to help us understand what it looks like to forgive. Not only to be forgiven, but what does it look like to forgive someone else? Therefore, Jesus says, therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors had brought in, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owed to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please, please be patient with me and I'll pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity. His master was filled with pity for him, and he released him, and he forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him, and he begged him for a little more time. "Be patient with me, and I'll pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man who had forgiven, called in the man he had forgiven. "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have some mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Jesus says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Man, what a story, and how incredibly difficult this makes the prayer that Jesus tells us to pray. Because not only do we get to receive the grace of Jesus to forgive our sin, but there's this incredible intertwined relationship, this correlation between the forgiveness that we seek to receive and the forgiveness that we are willing to offer. In this story Jesus tells, you've got one guy who's, you know, the servant who's been forgiven of this incredible debt. And what does he do? Does he offer that same grace to someone else? Absolutely not. He walks out of the chamber of the king and goes and finds the guy who owes him a couple of bucks, and he grabs him by the throat and he demands to have it. I feel like this is kind of a crazy story, and I'm like, well, of course he got what was coming to him. But man, how many times have I pleaded with God, "Forgive me. I'm broken. I'm a sinner. God, you know me. You made me. I make huge mistakes, and I'm really sorry, and I promise not to do this again. Of course, if you'll help me." And then I turn around, and when someone offends me, or when I feel like someone owes me something, how quick am I? Not necessarily grab them by the throat, although sometimes, anyway. Here's where I find myself, unwilling to offer the same forgiveness, the same grace that was given to me. And I think this piece of the prayer is so incredibly important, not just to help us understand that we can pray to God and receive forgiveness, but that we too, who have been recipients of the gospel, the good news, the grace of Jesus, are called to give it away. I've said before, and I can't even remember now who I stole this from, but I've heard that the gospel comes to us on its way to someone else. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, was never meant just for me. The forgiveness of Christ was never meant for just you, so that you can be happy and you can be safe from an eternity separated from God. But the forgiveness of Jesus was given to you so that you might actually offer that up to someone else. I believe that when we receive the forgiveness of Jesus and when we willingly give that to someone else, those who are far from him might actually see and recognize Jesus in us, and that their lives might actually be different. Because what would the gentleman, the guy who owed the smaller debt, the servant who had been approached by the other servant and grabbed by the throat, what would it have looked like if the servant who had been forgiven had came to him and said, "Hey, I know you owe me a lot of money, but I've been cut some slack by the boss, and I want to pass that on to you. You owe me nothing. For For my King has forgiven me. He's forgiven my debt. Therefore, I forgive you. What joy would have filled that servant's heart? How would he have thought about the King after that? How would your neighbor, how would your friend, how would your wife, how would your husband, how would your ex-wife or ex-husband feel if you were willing to acknowledge the grace of God in your life and then offer it up to someone else, give it back to them, and just to say, hey, God has forgiven me and I hold nothing against you. Wow. That's transformative grace. That takes the cheapness out of grace, and it increases the value of grace when we receive it and when we give it away, when we share it with other people. So what do we do with this? I think it's simple. I think step number one is to receive the grace of Jesus, to receive the forgiveness of your sin. We are promised in Scripture that if we would confess and repent, that Jesus would more than willingly offer us forgiveness. And not only does he offer us forgiveness, he enables us to go forth and share that with other people. And so I think that's the challenge for us today. Yes, I want you to receive forgiveness. But especially as you're stuck at home for the next who knows how long, you're kind of stressed by things. You know, things are looking really unsure. It's just kind of crazy. Man, what a time, what better a time to pick up the phone and just give a shout to somebody you know that you need to forgive. Or perhaps maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. And I know some of those people you have no contact with, some of them aren't even alive anymore. But what would it look like to recognize the grace of Jesus in your life in such a way that you're able to lay that burden down? I think for many of us, we're missing out on the freedom that Jesus has to offer to us because we hold on so tightly to that bitterness and that anger and that frustration. So my prayer for all of us today is this, that we would be people who forgive quickly, and that we would also be people who forgive at the same rate and at the same pace that we seek forgiveness. In fact, listen to these words that Jesus gave us immediately following this template of prayer. In fact, we stopped reading in verse 13. If you continue on to verse 14, listen what Jesus says as he takes a moment to kind of explain this idea of forgiveness. Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. That's incredibly cut and dry. And frankly, I think it tells us that to hold on to any bitterness in our heart, to hold any grudge against anyone, while asking for the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father, perhaps is the ultimate act of hypocrisy. And so I beg of you, I plead with you, receive the forgiveness that Jesus has for you and give it away as soon as you receive it. I think the more you forgive someone else, the more you will discover how gracious and how good and how generous the love of our God is. For we have seen it made real in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That while we were yet sinners, he gave himself up for us. That while we persecuted him, while we laughed and mocked him, he willingly gave himself up and said, Father, forgive them, for they have no idea what they are doing. May God bless you. May God forgive you. And may you be quick to forgive others so that his kingdom might become real here on earth. I look forward to seeing you guys next week. I hope this week only gets better for you. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.